man. Don't really want to hear this. But it's a good message. And it's not going to be a bashing message. It's an encouraging message of how that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to overcome the attacks of the devil against our lives. Now, when we see temptation, somebody shout out what you think about when you see temptation. Just name something you think about. Temptation. Yeah, what do you think about when you say, don't fall into temptation? What's something you may think about?
Something you're not supposed to want to have.
Like what? Well, yeah, we won't go a little deeper than that. I need Don here. He'd be honest. Huh? There you go. Let's get real up in here. Adultery, right?
Drugs, alcohol.
Yes, all that stuff that... prostitution, she said. Okay. I see that. Maybe see if you play in the altar call, you need to be at the altar. I just like... So anyway, that's true. Real things, right, that tempt us. Temptation comes in many ways. And, of course, we think about the stuff like adultery and drugs or drinking or partying or lusting or pornography or that. things that come against our lives. But let's think about this. Let's take it to a different level. How many of us are tempted to quit believing? Tempted to doubt? Tempted to stop coming to church? Tempted to stop giving or serving? Tempted to do things that the devil knows that if we listen to that, it takes us out of this. Temptation is real, as we know, and we are in the flesh, as we know, and we have the Holy Spirit, as we know, and they conflict, as we know. I don't care how Holy Ghost filled you are up in here today, we are tempted, and there's times we pass the test, and there's times we miserably fail the test. And God loves us through all of the test. And that's the good news. So we're going to talk about overcoming temptation. And we're going to use an example in Matthew chapter 4. And this is the when Jesus was being tempted and tested by Satan himself. Now I know what you're saying. There ain't nobody up in here like Jesus. You may think you are, but you are far, far from being like Jesus. I see your Facebook post, I know. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1, then was Jesus led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, like any of us would be. He was flesh as well. And when the tempter came, which is Satan, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. The devil was appealing to the appetite of Christ. He was appealing to a need he had, which he always does. The devil knows what your temptation is, right? I mean, he knows what your temptation is. He's not going to come against you with something that doesn't apply to you. He knows what everybody's thing is, and that's what he zeroes in on. Because some of us are tempted by things that others aren't, you know? So, I mean, some of you can't see if you're trying to fight alcohol, you can't even see a Budweiser commercial. You go berserk. You got to turn the channel, it's so bad. Well, that don't tempt me. But there's things that do tempt me. And I'm not going to tell you those things so you don't use them against me. But there are those things that tempt me. But alcohol is not one of those things. For many, it is. And the devil knows what it is. Here's Jesus. He's hungry physically. He's exhausted of 40 days of fasting and praying and seeking the will for his life. And here he is at 40 days. The devil says, I know you're hungry. And if you are the Son of God, if you're who you say you are, you can make those stones into sourdough, Amish, fresh bread, and you can eat it. And here's his response. And as we read this, this should help all of us understand how we can overcome temptation. I know we're going to fail from time to time, but we can do better. Look at your neighbor and say, you can do better. We can do better. Here's the real deal. Sometimes we don't want to do better. That old temptation comes and we likes it. We likes it a lot. And that's from a movie. We likes it a lot. And you know what? It looks good and it feels good. And I don't really want to resist. I don't want to resist. I like what I see. And you know what? It makes me feel good. And mama, she ain't the devil. Everything ain't the devil, right? But the devil does come against us. And sometimes we don't want to get rid of it because it brings us pleasure. So here's the real revelation. Inside of us, is it in our heart to resist that? Or are we okay not resisting that? And this kind of tells where our spiritual walk is. As Christians, we should resist all the things that we know aren't right for our lives that come against us. No matter how they're packaged, how they look, how they taste. We see this in the very beginning, right? Adam and Eve walking through the garden, and here comes the serpent, here comes the devil, and he opens his big fat mouth and says, "Oh, take that. It'll open your eyes. You'll be like God, and it's good, and it's wonderful, and it's great. And man, God's keeping you on the down low. He don't want you to know what's really going on. I'm here to tell you that when you eat this, everything will change." Well, it did. And he heard the voice of the serpent, and he listened to the voice of the enemy. And we know the rest of the story. The fall of man began because of hearing the words of the enemy and not combating it really back with the word of God. There's a word of God in every situation you can attack the temptation with, I promise. There is something scriptural that you can always apply against what's coming against your life. Always. Whether it's physical, spiritual, financial, mental, emotional, family, children, marriage, you know, whatever is addiction, whatever's against your life, there is something in God's word that we can combat that against it, to challenge that and to overcome that. But we have to be willing to really want to resist and really want to do that. It's like folks tell me all the time, you know, "I really want to come to church, but yeah, no, you don't. Because if you did, you'd be here. It's that simple. Period. You'd be here. You would be here. Whether it was raining, whether it was cold, whether it was hot, you would be here." So now I've been pastoring 17 years almost, and now I do the eye roll. People tell me that. I used to be nice and kind. Now I just go, "Yeah. Whatever. Sure, you're going to be here. I'll see you Sunday, Pastor." Yeah. We have to have a desire for the things of God more than the things of the world. That's why we keep falling into temptations, because that's where our heart's at. If our heart's in the world, that's what we're going to serve. If our heart's in God, that's who we're going to serve. Just like a faithful marriage, as a faithful husband or wife to your spouse, God calls us to be faithful and allegiant to Him, which means He comes first. My walk with God comes first. I don't care. You know, there's churches through the years that have done Super Bowl parties on Sunday nights. If you've been a part of that, and I'm not cracking on it, I'm just saying, it's church. It ain't Super Bowl. And I like Super Bowl. I watch it every year. But I ain't about to have a Super Bowl party up in the church. This is church. Make a decision and pick a side and say, "I want the world or I want God. I can't have both. I want the world or I want God." And we wonder why we're so afflicted and we're so overcome all the time. Man, we ain't got no power. Because all of our power and strength is laying in the world side and not in God's word. As Christians, we should know God's word. If you've been saved 10, 15, 20 years, you should know some scripture. You should know what God's word actually says. It's your covenant. Man, we know every statistic of a football player or a basketball player. Man, we know every movie line of our favorite movies. You're mumbling it while they're saying on TV, you know? Here's looking at you, kid. Whatever the line is, we know it before they say it. We know it because we've watched it, we've heard it, we've seen it. And then we come to God's word and we wonder, "I can't overcome this. Why am I so weak? Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so depressed? Man, why am I so overcome all the time? Why can I ever have a breakthrough?" Let's put our trust and faith in the word of God. And here's what Jesus said when the tempter came to him about making the stones bread. Jesus answered and says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." I will trust the word of God over my temptation. I'll trust the word of God over my affliction. I'll trust the word of God over my oppression. I'll trust the word of God over my discouragement. I'm going to trust that, because God's word doesn't lie. And the more we speak God's word, guess what? The more we start actually believing it. Start believing it. You know, I've said this before. You go to an AA or NA meeting. They always open up with, you know, I'm James Lewis and I'm an alcoholic. I'm James Lewis and I'm a drug addict. I'm James Lewis and I'm a sex addict. Whatever the group you're going to. I am James Lewis and I'm a food addict. I am James Lewis and I'm a bald head addict. Whatever it is. Whatever group you're a part of. You can find a group for anything in your life, I promise. Whatever that is. They're going to be a group for long that says, I'm James Lewis, I'm a social media addict. That's going to come up. They're going to have those meetings for long. My phone won't go off my hand. I try to walk away, it just sticks. I can't get off the social media. You see kids walking like this, texting through the mall. You see four people at a table in a restaurant, and they're not even talking to each other. They're on the phone. I'm like, how are all four of you on the phone? Hello? The server comes to your table. What do you want? I want to you order while you're still talking. Are you serious? Boy, that makes me mad. So disrespectful. Anyway, where was I at? Yes, you're at an AA meeting. Thank you. Glad y'all follow me. You're at an AA meeting. And the first thing you say, I'm James Lewis. You know what you're doing? You're constantly reminding yourself of what you were. What if we did that with the Word of God? I am James Lewis, and I am a child of God. I am James Lewis, and I'm bought with a price. Yes. I am James Lewis, and I am the redeemed of the Lord. Yes. I am James Lewis, and I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I am James Lewis, and I am his, and he is mine. I am James Lewis, and I have eternal life, and the gates of hell can't change that. As we begin to speak those words of life against our temptation, against our trial, against our doubt, all of a sudden something in us rises up that's real, and we start believing what we say that we are. We see that in the natural, right? We see it if you grew up with your parents always calling you a fool or idiot, or you're never been out to nothing, or you're sorry, you're a loser, you're this. You start believing that. If you grow up hearing you can be anything, you're smart, you know, go for it, whatever, you believe that. Words are powerful, and there's nothing more powerful than God's Word. And there's nothing more real than God's Word, and there's nothing more truth than God's Word. So speak that into your life. So here's what Jesus says. I'm going to live by God's word and not by my flesh and not by what I feel right now. Then the devil wasn't done. The devil's never done with you. He takes him up a second time, takes him to the holy city, setteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple, and he says to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest they dash thy foot against a stone. Here is the devil actually quoting scripture from Psalms 91, but he left a little something out of that. He didn't include the part of Psalm 91 where it says, in all your ways. He left that out. He omitted that part, just like he did in the beginning of the garden where he didn't tell the full truth as well. The devil is great at masking truth. The devil is great at masking truth. And so, it's important that we understand he's not going to tell you any truth. Anything the devil comes against you is a lie, it's wrong, and it's bad for your life, always. So here is the devil saying, throw yourself off that building because the Bible says, man, God will keep you. You ain't gonna get hurt because God's got you. Now, we all understand you don't get in a car, go 100 miles an hour down a curvy road, and say, you know what? God's got me. That'd be a fool. We don't do that. Yeah, God's got you. He's got you in heaven instead of earth. That's the only difference. He's got you up yonder, not down here. He's got you. We don't do that. Yes, God has us as we are in his way. God keeps us as we are following him. But you know what? There's no promise we go out and do something stupid and intentional and ignorant that God's got to say, you know what? What's that? I mean, that's just foolish. Would any of you go to downtown Statesville, climb up on one of them buildings and say, you know what, I'm just going to jump off. God's got me. His angels keep charge. Splat. Exactly. So here, the devil tempts him again. What was Jesus' response? Verse 7, it is written. Notice how he says, it is written. Second time Jesus said that, it's written. It's the word of God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He was combating his temptations with the Word of God. It's important we do that. Many of us don't because, once again, do we really want to beat the temptation? Or do we play the game of justification? You know what? Man, Sherman's been so bad to me. I deserve that guy right there. You know what? Sherman ain't kissed me in 3 weeks, and he don't ever tell me good morning no more. And you know what? This guy showed me a little bit of attention. And you know what? I deserve that, man. I deserve that. I am Mindy Henderson, and I deserve some love up in here. And if I can't get it from Sherman, you know what? I get it from somebody. We justify sometimes the temptation, don't we? Instead of Mindy saying, you know what? Maybe I showed him no love. Maybe I ain't done what I'm supposed to do. Easy to justify why we do the things we do. I had a bad dad. Well, you know what? Dad's gone. Maybe dad's dead. Dad's moved on. You can't blame dad your whole life for your problems. Well, my mom wasn't no good. Can't blame mama. Well, my church hurt me. Can't blame the church. Can't blame God. Can't blame how he's raised. I mean, it makes no sense, church, to keep hanging on. I've seen people come from very bad backgrounds to be very successful and happy and joyful people. And I've seen others that will hang on to that out to the day of the grave. To the day of the grave. Instead of rising up saying, you know what? I'm not going to justify why I'm doing the things I'm doing. I can't blame on anybody else but me, because you know what? I'm the one making the decision. I'm the one making the decision. His angels will keep charge. Not going to tempt God that way. So the devil wasn't quite done yet. Again, verse 8, third time now. The devil taketh him to an exceedingly high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to them, all these things will I give thee if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, get thee hence. Get behind me. Get away from me, Satan, for it is written. Third time. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Three times the devil attacked him. Three times he came back with the word of God, reminding him what is written. What if we do that? Here's what the Bible says. You know, the devil comes with you know, all that discouragement and all that depression and all that stuff that we're facing today, that people are just so downtrodden. Let's rise up. It is written that the joy of the Lord is my strength. It is written that sorrow cometh for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. It is written, church, it is written, the joy of the Lord. Begin to say those things and remind yourself what is written in the Word of God. Because, man, life happens. I get it. Circumstances change on a dime. You get a phone call. You get news. You know, your marriage can end. Your child can, whatever. Things happen in our lives that can rock our world. But we must return to what God's Word says. It is written. This is what the Word says. So no matter what I'm tempted to fall into, I've got the power of the Holy Spirit to help me overcome that. It doesn't matter what statistics show. It doesn't matter what the world tells me that's going to happen. It doesn't matter what everybody else around me is speaking. All I want to hear is God's voice. That's all I need to hear. That's all that matters. If I hear God's voice, it's good. If I hear God's voice, I got peace. If I hear God's voice, everything's fine. If I hear God's voice. Sometimes we listen to too many voices. We put too much faith in people that aren't even coming from a spiritual background whatsoever. And they're trying to help you and teach you when they don't have any spiritual understanding themselves. I trust God, and I trust what his word says. Three times the devil came against Jesus. Three times he came against the devil with the word of God. And look at verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The devil left him once he stood up with the word of God and refused to give in to what he was presenting. I know the flesh is weak, but you know what? We can do what we want to do if the desire is there enough. I've seen smokers smoke for 40 years. Some of y'all here have quit smoking after 40 years. You laid them down and you stopped. Said, you know what? I stopped. I got to the point. I was ready, and I stopped. You want to lose weight? You can lose weight. Yeah, it's hard. It sure is. You can't eat ice cream all the time, right? You can't go to buffets very often. You know, you can't eat no bread, potatoes, rice. I mean, life might as well end it, right? I understand it's hard. But you know what? If you want to bad enough, you can lose weight. You can quit smoking. You can quit drinking. You can be free of your addictions. There's things in your lives you can break when that desire in you is stronger than the desire to keep doing those things. It comes down to this. Do I really want it? Do I want it bad enough to overcome? Or am I just allowing the devil to keep me right where he wants me? The little pawn, he just keeps me right where he wants me. We can overcome. Look at the next verse. This is James 4:7. Submit yourselves to God. That's the key, right? Submit. And what that means is, God, I want your will. I submit to your will in my life. I submit to what you want me to do. I submit, God. I surrender. Lord, I give it up. I'm here. Lord, whatever you want for my life, that's what I desire. Whether I physically want it, if it's not what you want, God, take it away from me. Because there's things in our lives that we desire that's not God's will. It's not the best plan for us. We want it, but it's not his plan. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. That's the next key. Are we really resisting him, or do we like what the devil shows us sometimes? Do we really resist, or are we kind of one eye blind, one eye looking, one ear closed, one ear open, kind of trying to play the field instead of saying, no, I don't want you in my life. I don't want this in my life. It may mean that we cut out things that are affecting that in our lives. Making some hard decisions. Say, you know what? Just not going to tolerate that. Not going to have that. Not going to watch that. Not going to do that. Not going to hear that. And make a stand to say, I don't want this in my home. I don't want this in my mind. I don't want this in my spirit. We got to guard our hearts, don't we? Man, our hearts are tender. And things get into our hearts that can corrupt us if we're not careful. We guard it. Guard your heart. Don't just let anything in, because anything's not always the best thing. So we have to guard what we're watching, what we're hearing, what we're saying, what we're believing. We got to guard that and trust and protect inside here. So we submit to God. We resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word flee, if you look it up in the Greek, means to vanish, to run away. So if I submit to God, if I really submit to you, if I really desire you, God, to take this out of my life, to help me overcome what I'm battling. Now why am I saying, this message today is all about this. This is not about, you know, you're evil, you're bad, you're going to hell message. This ain't what it's about. This message is about, as we succumb to temptation, it always takes us to a place we don't want to be. It takes us down a road we don't want to stay. And it keeps us way longer than it should. So it's important that we say, I don't want this for my life. It's not good for my life. It's not that God will quit loving you because you fall and because you fail. It's not that God's going to kick you out of the gates of heaven because you make a mistake. But it does put you in a place that is not good for your life. It's not healthy. You lose things. You lose peace. You lose joy. You may lose family. You lose things that are so valuable that God doesn't want you to lose. So don't let temptation overtake you. You overtake that. I've got that power. You know, Bill preached a message. I wasn't here, but I heard about it. It traveled for about 280 miles. I heard about it. Where Bill preached a message on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago that you got a helper. Did you know you got a helper? Not hamburger helper. You got a helper. And this helper is with you every step of your journey, every breath of your life. And this helper is there to, I don't know, help. Help you overcome. Help you stay strong. That when the enemy comes, you're not, because we can't fight the enemy by ourselves. Man, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting principles and powers on high. We're fighting things that we can't physically touch. We want to shake it out of somebody, but we can't physically shake the fool out of them. Right? We can't shake the ignorance out of them. We can't shake the sin out of them. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit's allowed to operate in our lives fully, we have something we're operating in that's more powerful than flesh. And the Holy Spirit fights for us, and it does a work for us. In fact, it does a work in spite of us. It does a work when we're in the way. Just, you know, Holy Spirit, take over and let the Holy Spirit in us fight our battles. We talked Wednesday night when Moses was pinned between the Red Sea and between Pharaoh's army. There was no choice. Moses had no power, no ability to do anything to escape that situation. Nothing. He couldn't do nothing. There was no military game plan physically that could have possibly got him out of that situation. There was no army thing, no marine thing. There wasn't any general smart enough to get him out of that spot. He was stuck and he was going to die. But God showed up. And when he stretched forth that staff and said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord," something happened. What was going to destroy him became a saving grace for him. And Moses escaped with safety. We can overcome the attacks of our lives if we let the Holy Spirit fight our battle and fight for us. But we got to want that. We got to want to fight. We got to want to resist. We got to want to submit. And all of that comes from getting in God's Word and seeing what He really says about your life, seeing who you are, knowing who you are. I don't have to put up with it because it comes my way. Temptation, man, is strong. Temptation is real. And being tempted is not a sin. But man, you take a bite of that, it can lead to a lot of destruction. So when temptation comes, I don't like this. God, what do I do? Help me refrain. Remember the story of Joseph when Potiphar's wife approached him to sleep with him. He resisted her. He fled from her. He ran from her. And you know what? He actually quoted not maybe God's biblical word, but he quoted God's word, really. When he told her, he says, look, your husband put me in charge of all the household, but I can't have you. He said that. I can't have you. That's not right. That's wrong. I can't betray him. That's not right. And he fled from her. He had a decision to make. And we know what happened. He still got arrested for it and got falsely charged. Spent 2 years in jail for it. Seems real unfair. But man, God had a plan. And in 2 years, he went from a convict and a prisoner to the prince of Egypt, the second in command. God took him from the dungeon to the palace because Joseph made a decision. I'm not going to let this temptation overtake me, but I'm going to overcome it. When David was facing the giant, he had a decision to make too. You know, we read the story where David had faith, and he did. But you have to admit, David probably had some moments of doubt too. I mean, think about this. Who wouldn't? You're out there facing this giant. You don't have no experience. He had faith in God, and he said the right things. But I'm sure in his spirit, he had to keep reminding himself of who he was. I am a child of God. He's called me. He's called me, Lord, this is me. This is you doing this, not me. He had to remind himself who he was as God's child. He had to overcome that doubt and that fear in order to obtain that victory. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The devil will leave you alone when you start using God's word. He has to. Because the word of God puts him at bay. When we start, and here's something else. It's like when you praise God. We don't always feel like praising God. I know that. We ain't always in the mood, right? We had a bad day, a bad morning, bad week. You know, Sister Jan's in the crowd, so I ain't going to praise God. They allow her here. You know, whatever your reason is. I can't praise God today. It's very important we realize that as we faithfully enter into praise and turn that button on and say, God, this is your time. I'm putting you first. It's amazing how for a big game we prepare, isn't it? We make a store, we make a rush to the grocery store, right? We get our drinks, whether it's alcohol or non-alcohol. We'll make sure we got our drinks. We get our Doritos, we get our sandwich meat, our cheese and our turkey and our mustard and our bread, our chips, our dessert, our cinnamon rolls, our ice cream. We get everything for the game. We break out our jersey, make sure it's pressed and clean, put it on. Some of you mark your face up at home, you know. Nobody even sees you. I don't know why you do that. But you got the things, you know, sitting in your living room, you got the little things under your eyes. I mean, man, you're prepared. You prepared. You know what time it starts. You've done told the preacher, as Kevin done told me this morning, the soccer game's on at 10 o'clock. He said, Pastor, make it quick. So, you know what? I'm prepared. I'm getting my stuff. Think about that. We prepare. Me and Mel went out of town a couple weeks ago. That's why Bill filled in. Me and Mel went out of town for about 3 days. And, you know, I'm a guy. She's a girl, right? Well, y'all know that. But, and I'm glad you're a girl. Thank you. Well, yeah, I'm glad you're a girl, Mel. But, you know, but you know what? A man packing for a trip and a woman packing for a trip. Oh, my gosh. SMH. I can get everything I need. I can pack everything I need for a week in a duffel bag. I honestly can, a duffel bag. My wife has to have before we left, my wife had to have the house clean, floors mopped, everything. I said, Melly, we're going to be gone. Who cares if the house is dirty while we're gone? We're not here. That's what she said. So she spends days cleaning the house, washing, drying clothes, getting everything ready, getting 4 or 5 bags broke out, packing all of her stuff. And, man, I'm sitting there. I could pack within 30 minutes everything I need and be gone anywhere in the world. And I'm like, man, what was that?
She said she guaranteed you forgot something.
I don't know. I'm pretty good. My whole point is, we go on a trip, we prepare, right? We take care of our pets. We get our pets to a kennel to be watched. We stop our mail. We get our neighbor to pick up our mail. You know, we adjust the air so it's not, you know, cold while we're gone. We keep it, you know, turn it up so it's not running all week long. We prepare things. Prepare for trips. We prepare for games. We prepare for go to a movie. Prepare to go out to eat. Everything we prepare for. But when it comes to our spiritual walk, are we preparing anything in order to hear what God has to say? How do I prepare? I read God's word. I pray. I worship. I listen. I open myself up. I'm ready, God. This is my time with you, and nothing is going to interrupt that. This is my time for you. I mean, we don't take that serious anymore like we used to. We don't take it serious. I was talking to a funeral home guy the other day, and he did a service years ago in Florida. This is when Dallas was big on TV. You remember the show Dallas? It was big. And he said they had a family come in, and they want a visitation to end at 8:30. This is the family for their loved ones. Got to end at 8:30. Okay. Says, we got to be home by 9 to watch Dallas. This was the visitation night of their loved one. But they're cutting visitation off at 8:30 to be home at 9 to see old JR. It was that important. I wish to God the church would get that excited. It's 10 o'clock Sunday. I don't care about no game. I don't care about my kids' soccer match. I'm going to be in the house of God every Sunday I can at 10 o'clock to hear what he has to say. Got two claps. Man, I hit a bone. Hallelujah. The culture is so changed. Church is an afterthought now, if I can. I know when you're sick. I don't want you here sick, church. I don't want to get sick. I know you travel and go on vacation. That's important, too. I believe in that. But, man, if we would take the seriousness of being in the house of God to hear what his word has to say. Because you don't know what you can get from God every single time you come. Every single time. You can take something away as you listen. It used to be such a time that it was just everybody knew. I'm no older than I am. I remember when stuff was closed on Sundays. There wasn't no grocery store open on Sunday. You couldn't buy no beer on Sunday. Things closed down. Things locked down. You didn't do nothing. Here's what you did on Sundays back when I was growing up. I mean, I didn't necessarily do this, but people did this. You went to church on Sunday, and then you went to grandma's to eat, or you might have went out to eat or whatever, but, you know, you went to church, usually had a good meal, and then you stayed home pretty much the rest of the day. And crashed, and rested, and visited, or whatever you did. But it was a day that Sunday you knew was a day I don't do nothing but church and family, church and family, church and family. That's Sunday. And I grew up that way. The only thing I did on Sunday after church was watch football. That's all I did. My dad took a four-hour nap, and I watched football. That's what we did on Sundays. Kept waiting for dad to come watch the game. About time, you know, the game go off at 4 o'clock, he'd wait. Who won? Missed the whole game, man. But if we would prepare our hearts for God like we do everything else, man, how our lives would be changed, radically changed. And I know people say, you know, I don't know, church can be boring. The God things are boring. You know why it's boring? Because that's not where our heart's at. It's not boring when your heart's in the right place. I desire to hear from God. Man, I want to be where God's at. I want to hear what he's got to say. I want to be around God's people. I want to worship with my church homies. That's, you know. They my peeps. That's who I want to be with. You know, they don't all act like me. They don't all look like me. But, man, we are a church family. And we are, as the song says, family, right? We are family. All of us. Yes, all of us. There you go, man. We are family. And we ought to celebrate that. One more verse. We'll close out. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can. I can overcome temptations. I can overcome the things the devil's trying to come against my life. I can make a stand and say, you know what? You're not going to win this battle, devil. You're not going to win it. I refuse to let you win a battle that Christ has already won for me. I refuse to let you think that you won because you're already defeated. You are under my feet, as the song says, right? You're under my feet. I trust that. Jesus broke your back at Calvary. And I'm not letting you have power to rule my life when I've already got a ruler and a king called Jesus. Period. He's my ruler, my king. I can do all things. And that's a verse every one of us can memorize and learn. You will be tested next Sunday, so learn to memorize this verse. Church, if y'all can't memorize that verse, y'all ain't very bright. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can all, Doc can even memorize that. He's got military issues. He can memorize that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Do what? Yeah, you're not going to Toronto. When we realize, yes, I can do all things, but it's not through me, it's through Him. I mean, if we believe the resurrected power of Christ lives in us, why aren't we walking resurrected? We're walking like we're dead men. No, we've been resurrected by His power. So I'll walk in that power, stand in that power, pray in that power, worship in that power, and serve in that power. I can do all things. So the next time the devil comes to you, do what Jesus did. Satan, it is written in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. And I submit this to God. I'm resisting you. You have no power in my ear. I'm not giving you. You know, it's very important we don't give our ear to anybody, right? Protect your ear, who you're letting inside of you. Be very, very, it's very, very important. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Overcoming temptation, you can do it. I promise you can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do it. But you've got to want to do it. You've got to. I have actually been several times. Now, I love Village Inn Pizza. A lot of y'all don't like it. I love Village Inn Pizza. I think it's the best pizza in Statesville. It's probably the best in the South. Good salad bar, too. Absolutely. The spaghetti changed. Last time I went, they didn't have no meat in it. That's weird. Anyway, but I love their pizza. And the last few times I've went, the very last time I did, I failed. But the times before that I went, I've actually went into Village Inn Pizza and only ordered a salad. And only ate the salad inside the restaurant with all that pizza staring at me. Hey, King, I'm cheesy and meaty. Don't you want me? You know how hard that is to go by that pizza bar and see all that fresh pizza? And I'm eating lettuce and, you know, carrots and broccoli. But I've done that several times. So you can overcome. You can overcome. I went, what was it, 39 days without sweet tea. Now, I went back, but I made it 39 days without any sweet tea. Church, I'm telling you, that for me, I'm a tea drinker all day long. All day, morning, noon, night, all day. 10 o'clock at night, knock down a biggie, it don't matter. I'm a tea drinker. I went 39 days. God gave me the strength. I overcame. Yes. I beat that old sweet tea demon. But it came back. The devil came back. The devil says, it is written, thou shalt not live by caffeine, caffeine free only. You're right, devil. Thanks. Cheers. Anyway. Y'all can overcome, church. You can overcome. All right, we got something we're going to do this morning. Where'd mom go? Oh, okay. We've got someone that's leaving our church family, at least for a little while. It may not be permanent. I hope it's not permanent, but for right now, it's permanent. But Karina is moving back to West Virginia, and we are so upset. I get so sick of losing families to West Virginia. What in the heck so good about West Virginia? I don't get it. We've lost like four families to West Virginia. But Karina, come on up here. We want to recognize her for a minute, and I want to talk about her just for a minute. Come on up here, Karina. I get a text on the phone last week saying, just let you know, I'm moving back to West Virginia. I'm leaving Sunday after church. I thought she was kidding. Because I knew she went to visit last week. I thought she was trying to get me riled up. So I immediately call her. I said, you're kidding me, right? No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. I cried. I said, Karina, you can face them. I said, you're really leaving? I'm really leaving. So she is leaving today, right? Heading to West Virginia. You're going where again? What town? Middleburn, West Virginia. You heard of that, Dina? Middleburn. It's in northern West Virginia, right? No stoplights in that town. No. What county is that? You know what county it's? Tyler. Ever heard of Tyler County? No. I thought y'all knew each other. Anyway. But Karina's been with us since the very beginning of the church. We started the church July of 2002 in a little fire department over on West Side, Statesville. And Karina came in the very beginning and was a big part of our church. And we was folding up chairs, sweeping floors, breaking equipment down. She was part of that there every single week. She supported us not only with her being there, but she supported us financially through the years, faithfully. And Karina, I really appreciate that. And you're going to be so, so missed. We are family. We love you. And, you know, she says it may not be permanent. She's going to do it for a while and see what happens. And so we just need to pray hard. No, I want Karina to be happy. And if that's where she's going to be happy, she does have a son up there in Pittsburgh or near Pittsburgh. It's about an hour and a half from where she's going to be. So that'd be a lot closer for her. But we are going to miss her very much. And she's one of our charter members of our church. And she means a lot to us. And it's not going to be the same without her here. That's for sure. Mom, come up here. Mom's got something she wants to do, Karina, for you. You leave. I know you dressed to drive. That's okay. Here, Mom, give you your soft voice. They won't hear you.
Karina is also a charter member of Primetimers. And she started with us from the very first meeting almost 5 years ago. Actually, in fact, she and Kevin came all the way from Mooresville 30 minutes early every meeting so I would not have to go in the church alone and open up and get ready. They were my bodyguards. So another thing I want you to know about her, she is so loving and generous. She started bringing door prizes of her own free will out of her heart, no reimbursement. She'd come down the aisle if there was a Mother's Day or a Father's Day or any type of special day, she would bring a beautifully wrapped door prize to give to the fellow primetimers. And birthday cakes. Every month she'd bring a birthday cake out of her own pocket, out of her own heart, and celebrate the primetimers' birthdays for that month. But most of all, it was her love and smiling face, showing support for whatever was going on in the meeting, and the prayers and the support, and we appreciate it so much. And I do have a little something for you from the primetimers. Now, inside this is hot chocolate. And you're supposed to, it says, to stir the gift of God that's within you. And that's what you've done for primetimers. You've allowed God to stir the gift of love and generosity in you. And the cup says, it's wonderful to be a part. And you'll always be a part. And you always will be. We love you. We're going to miss you terribly.
You got anything you want to say, Karina? Put that in the bag. You got anything you want to say?
Yes, I love everybody. I'm going to miss you all, so.
Love you, Karina. Thank you. She got family up there, so she's going to be with some of her kinfolk. Lord, I'm South West Virginia, I'm saying kinfolk. She's going to be with some kinfolk up there, huh? I guess we do, yeah. I guess we do say that in North Carolina. That's true. I do say July. Do you? Yes. Yes. Yes, I worked with Karina at Walmart for 5 years down in Mooresville as well. I was the best boss she had, she said. I know Pat before she left to go to Virginia when she moved away. Y'all can't quit moving away, okay? She's really taking a toll on me. But when Pat left Virginia, she told church one time. She said, I was Pat's boss too, and she said, I told James he's a lot better pastor than he was a boss. Well, it's just because it's a different role, that's for sure. As a manager at Walmart, I definitely wasn't saying, you know, now, Miss Karina, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt clean thy register, and thou shalt be blessed. That wasn't my mode whatsoever. I can promise you that. Oh, man. All right. Ushers, come on up. Minnie, come on up and play something. Let's play something lively if you got something for our offering song. The happier you play, the more they give. So play something happy. Don't forget our big events in 2 weeks from today, our community celebration. Randy knows this morning. Did y'all notice any of the little yard signs anywhere around the area? You noticed it, D? Awesome. Y'all noticed it? Yeah, good. We put some. We went and put about 10 little signs up around the area by stop signs advertising our event. 2 weeks from today, regular service at 10 o'clock. Then following, we'll have hot dogs. That'll be provided for by the church. But need everybody to bring a side or dessert. And directly following service, we go to the fellowship hall and eat. And we got 3 inflatables for the kids. Big jumbo slide, a Carolina Panther moon bounce house. Carolina Panthers. Yes, it is. And a basketball, inflatable basketball shoot. So that'll all be set up for 2 weeks from today. The events, we got it going up till 3 o'clock to give folks in the community time, if they want to come by in the afternoon and hang out with us. May cut it off sooner, depends on how things go. But 2 weeks from today, so please advertise that. We've got signs out. Some of y'all put flyers out. We hung a flyer up on Golian's bookstore. Don Barker store's got one hanging up. Post office has one hanging up with my face on it. No, I'm playing. You know, post office. So I've hung a few of those out. But invite your friends, especially your unchurched people that's not plugged in nowhere. Just tell them to come check us out. We'll make them feel right at home. Y'all know that. So really excited about that event. Hopefully the weather will be holding up well for we can do everything outside like we want to. So excited about that. Let's pray over our offering. Father, as we give our offering today, we just thank you for this message. Thank you for this hope that we have in you. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that we can overcome, God, as we submit to you. Let our heart desire that, God. Create a desire within us to want to submit and to serve you, that we can fulfill your plan for our lives. Bless this offering as it's received and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.